Welcome to the Microgreens World Podcast.
All right, welcome to another deep dive. You ready to unlock some serious microgreen potential?
Absolutely, let's do it.
Today we're diving deep into spacing. You know, how much space each of those little plants needs to really thrive?
It's something that a lot of people overlook, you know? They think it's just like a simple step, but it's the foundation of successful microgreens.
Yeah, I mean, think about those first few times when you tried growing them. I know mine looked more like a tangled jungle than a garden.
Oh, totally. I bet it was kind of funny looking back, right?
Definitely. So we're exploring this topic through an expert's research.
Mm-hmm.
And get this, they actually had a pretty hilarious experience early on with some seriously overcrowded trays.
Oh, yeah, I read about that. They called them jungle trays, didn't they? Like they were just sprinkling seeds like confetti.
Exactly. They thought more seeds would automatically mean more greens. Spoiler alert, it didn't work out that way.
Nope, not at all. I bet those little radish seedlings were throwing a fit. But hey, we all learn from those early mishaps.
Exactly. So what did they figure out? Like, why is overcrowding such a bad thing?
Well, you know, imagine you're stuck in a really crowded room, right? You're all crammed in there, competing for air, for space. You can't even move. Plants are kind of the same way. When they're too close, they're fighting for everything. Light, nutrients, even just air to breathe.
Like those concert goers trying to push their way to the front row.
Exactly. It's stressful. And all that stress, it leads to problems. Mold starts growing, their stems get all weak, and they just don't grow as big or as vibrant.
So, no more confetti-style seeding. Got it. But how do we find that sweet spot? Like, how much space does each little plant actually need?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, right? And honestly, it depends. Like, every variety is a little different, kind of like people. They each have their own personal space bubble.
Microgreens with personalities. Okay,
yeah.
I'm hooked. Tell me more.
So our expert found that some microgreens are total introverts, like okra, for example. It needs a good amount of space to, you know, really spread out and thrive.
So how much space are we talking about for those okra introverts?
Well, they recommend at least like 3 to 4 square centimeters per seedling. But then you've got things like spinach. It's a little more flexible, happy with a little less elbow room, you know?
I can picture spinach being like the life of the party.
Oh, exactly. And then there are the real party animals, like those tiny cress seeds. They actually do better in bigger crowds. They only need like 1 to 2 square centimeters each.
So wait, are you telling me that we have to like measure out those microscopic seeds with a tiny ruler?
Well, no, not exactly. Our expert, they actually found a really clever solution right in their kitchen. They use a kitchen scale to weigh out the seeds for each tray.
A kitchen scale? That's brilliant. Who knew baking tools could be microgreen game changers?
Right. It just goes to show you, you don't always need fancy equipment. Sometimes the simplest solutions are the best.
Okay, so we've got the whole personal space thing figured out. But what about other factors like light? I mean, if you've got the perfect spacing, but you're growing under LEDs versus like natural sunlight, does that change things?
Oh, absolutely. The environment plays a huge role. And you know, this is where things get really interesting. Airflow. Think of it as like the conductor of the microgreen orchestra.
Okay, airflow and microgreens. I never would have thought of that.
Yeah, our expert tracked all sorts of things in their grow journal. Mm-hmm. And what they found was even just a gentle breeze, like from a small fan, can make a big difference, especially when you've got those trays packed a little denser.
So it's not just about the space between the plants. It's about the air that flows between them, too.
Exactly.
What kind of differences did they find when they were testing out different light setups?
Well, under their purple LEDs, they could actually go up to a pretty high density, like 450 grams of seed per square meter. They got the highest yields that way, but they did notice the quality wasn't quite as good.
So it's kind of a trade-off. More, but not necessarily the best.
Exactly. With natural sunlight, they had to back off on the density a bit, closer to like 250 grams per square meter. But that's probably the most economical option, right? No need to pay for all that electricity.
Makes sense. Did they try any other light setups?
They did a red and blue light mix, too. For that one, they landed at about 400 grams per square meter, and they found those plants were super vigorous, you know, really healthy and strong.
Wow. So many factors to consider. It's like a balancing act.
It really is. The light, the airflow, the density, they all work together.
Okay, so we've talked about how much space each little plant needs and how airflow and light play a role. But I'm still thinking about that idea that, you know, a little stress can actually make microgreens more nutritious. It's like tough love for plants.
It really is. A little challenge can really bring out the best in them. Remember those okra seedlings? The ones that need all that space? Well, it turns out they might have been throwing us a bit of a curveball.
Oh, what do you mean?
Well, they actually produce higher yields when they're a bit closer together than what's usually recommended. They're kind of breaking all the rules.
So those introverts aren't so antisocial after all.
Haha, I guess not. It just goes to show we're always learning new things about these little guys. What about cress? Do you remember how much of those guys like to party?
Yeah, they're the ones that thrived in those denser populations, right?
Exactly. So, maybe crowding isn't always a bad thing. It seems like some microgreens have actually evolved to handle it. Maybe even prefer it.
Oh, okay, so some microgreens like a little bit of a push,
Yeah.
but where do we go from here? What's the future of, microgreen spacing? Are we going to be stuck measuring out seeds with tiny rulers forever?
I think we're actually on the brink of a tech revolution in microgreen growing. Imagine like AI-powered systems that can analyze your whole growing environment. The light, the humidity, even the specific variety you're growing. And then they tell you exactly how much space each plant needs to, reach its full potential.
Well, AI microgreen farmers, that sounds pretty futuristic.
It does, doesn't it? But think of it like having a personal microgreen coach. Sensors would monitor your seedlings as they grow, and algorithms would like make adjustments in real time, fine-tune the spacing, the light, even the nutrient delivery, just creating the perfect conditions for maximum yield and quality.
So basically, no more guesswork, just data-driven microgreen success. Sign me up.
I know, right? And the best part is, this technology isn't just like some sci-fi fantasy. It's actually already being developed in labs all over the world. It's only a matter of time before it's available to, home growers like us.
That's amazing. But what about other innovations? Are there any other cool new ways to grow microgreens that are like shaking things up?
Oh, absolutely. We're seeing this huge surge in alternative growing methods that are really challenging those, traditional tray-based setups, things like vertical farms, hydroponics, aeroponics. They're all designed to maximize space and really optimize all those crucial environmental factors we've been talking about.
So basically, microgreens are going high-tech and E, taking over the world, one innovative growing technique at a time.
Pretty much. And it's exciting because, for starters, they allow us to grow more food in less space, which is a huge deal, especially in a world where space is becoming like more and more precious. And because we have this like precise control over the environment, we can really fine-tune those conditions to create the perfect microgreen haven.
It's incredible how technology is changing everything, right down to how we grow our food. But with all this high-tech talk, I have to ask, is there still a place for those low-tech DIY approaches? What about those of us who just want to, keep things simple?
Of course. Those DIY methods are always going to be a huge part of the microgreen world. They're accessible, they're affordable, and they really let anyone experience that, like joy of growing your own food. Remember those mason jar lids and like the twine grids? Those simple tools can be so effective at achieving, really good spacing.
It's a good reminder that sometimes the best solutions are right in front of us.
Absolutely. Microgreens are for everyone, whether you're like a tech enthusiast or a total DIY guru. It's a hobby that can be as simple or as complex as you want it to be.
So whether you're dreaming of AI microgreen farms or crafting your own ingenious spacing tools, there's a place for you in this incredible world.
Totally. And as we keep exploring, keep experimenting, I think we're going to uncover even more fascinating insights and innovative techniques, things that will make it even easier to grow delicious, nutritious microgreens at home.
I love that. Now, we've talked a lot about head W to space microgreens, but in part three, we're going to dive into WHY. It matters so much for, boosting their nutritional content.
Yeah.
Get ready to unlock the superpowers hidden within those tiny greens. We're back for the final part of our microgreen spacing deep dive. We've covered a lot, but now it's time to get to the heart of it all. Why does spacing even matter? What's the connection between giving your plants some breathing room and, like, boosting their nutritional power?
Yeah, this is where things get super interesting. Remember how we talked about stress being a good thing for microgreens? Well, spacing plays a big role in kind of fine-tuning those stress levels,
Yeah.
to create those nutrient-packed greens.
Okay, so walk me through it. How does spacing actually do that? Work its magic on the nutrients.
Okay, so think about it like this. When those microgreens are all crammed together, they're constantly battling it out for resources. It's like a tiny gym where everybody wants to use the same weights. And you know how our muscles get stronger when we challenge them? Well, plants kind of do the same thing. They actually produce more of those beneficial compounds when they're faced with a little competition.
So we're turning those trays into microgreen boot camps.
Exactly.
What kind of workout are we talking about here? What did our expert actually find?
Well, they found that crowding the plants just a bit led to higher flavonoid production. Those are the antioxidants that, help protect our cells.
Antioxidant power-up just from spacing. Awesome. What else?
They also found that when the plants are competing for light, they actually produce more anthocyanins. Those are the compounds that give fruits and veggies their bright colors, and they also have anti-inflammatory properties.
So those colorful compounds are like the plant's way of saying, bring it on.
Pretty much. Oh, and here's another one. They found that root competition, where they're fighting for water and nutrients underground, it actually increases glucosinolate levels. And those are thought to have cancer-fighting properties.
Wait, hold on. So by spacing them right, we might be boosting our defenses against disease. That's amazing.
It is pretty remarkable. It shows how interconnected everything in nature is. Something as simple as the space between those seedlings can have a huge impact on their nutritional value and then on our health.
Okay, so stress can be good, but how do we find that sweet spot? How do we know we're not like overwhelming them?
Well, that's the question, right? And it's something that researchers are still trying to figure out. It's all about balance, and it might take some experimenting.
So what would you tell our listeners, the ones who are ready to try this out?
I'd say become a microgreen detective. Pay attention to your plants. Notice how they react to different densities, light, and airflow. Don't be afraid to play around with those DIY spacing tools we talked about. It's all about experimenting.
Turn your microgreen setup into a little science lab. I like it.
Exactly. And as you learn, you'll get a feel for what your plants need, You'll be able to read those cues and fine-tune everything to grow those super nutritious greens.
So we've gone from jungle trays to AI microgreen farmers to the power of stress. What a ride. Any final thoughts on the future of microgreen spacing?
I think we're really just scratching the surface here. As we learn more about stress and nutrients, we'll be able to create microgreens that are specifically designed to boost our health. Imagine personalized microgreen superfoods.
Wow, that's an amazing vision. Well, we've explored a whole world of possibilities in this deep dive, from those tiny seeds to those cutting-edge innovations. What a fascinating journey.
It really has. And, remember, every one of those tiny seeds holds so much potential, flavor, nutrition, even a little magic. It's up to us to unlock that potential and share it with the world.
Well said. And if to our listeners, we hope this has inspired you to get growing, experiment, and discover the incredible world of microgreens. Until next time, happy growing.